Welcome to the ENR Critical Path Podcast. I'm Jeff Yoders at the Oracle Innovation Lab here in Deerfield, Illinois. It's a special event, another remote podcast we're doing today, and I'm very lucky to have with me Burçin Kapanoglu. Burçin Kapanoglu is a co-founder of the Oracle Construction and Engineering Innovation Lab. Prior to moving to Oracle, he was Vice President, Director of Operations at Lendlease's Telecommunication Infrastructure Business Unit, where he was responsible for innovation, strategy, and operations. During his 16 years at Lendlease, he led construction projects, spearheaded national real estate development programs, developed corporate operational systems, and initiated process improvements to operations. He's also an adjunct professor at Northwestern University's McCormick School of Engineering and was one of ENR's top 20 under 40 in 2016. Welcome, Burçin Kapanoglu.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for being in the podcast. And I know you as the guru of Oracle here, but why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and let our audience know everything you've done here at the lab.
Absolutely. I started in the industry almost 20 years ago as a project engineer. And during that time, I actually received a PhD in civil engineering. And I did continue working in the industry. So I worked in the industry almost 17 years. I actually worked for a single company all that time. So I worked for Lendlease, used to be called Bovis. So some of your audience would know.
Yep.
Pretty large developer, builder, contractor, portfolio manager in the industry. And almost 5 years ago, I joined Oracle. And when I joined, my role was to lead innovation for their construction engineering business unit. And that's how Labs started. So I was doing the job the first 6 months, and you know, part of the role was, if we're going to innovate, we can't do everything ourselves. And how can we do that? We had to build an ecosystem. And that's how it all started.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned your time with Lendlease. I'm of the age where I remember when it was Bovis Lendlease as well, so we're dating ourselves here. But one of the things you mentioned this morning was contractors particularly can't do this themselves. There's so much data out there. There are so many different solutions and so many different facets to the construction industry. I mean, is that how you've approached this since joining Oracle?
So absolutely. It's partly my past experiences, partly a lot of friends I have in the industry. And we always talked about this. I'll give you a specific example. Many years ago, now almost actually a decade ago, one idea was, hey, we should do drone flights for roof inspections. Guess what? It makes a lot of sense. Number one, safety. You don't need to have anyone climb. Number two, it's cost effective. It's actually so much cheaper to do that. Just to do that took me almost 9 months to start that program. And there are many reasons to it, right? You know, one could be, you need to come to an agreement in a this is 10 years ago almost, right? So imagine that time there were only a few companies providing drone as a service. So you're dealing with something new and innovative at that time. Your contracts really don't work with that vendor because, you know, that's written for a contractor. It's not written for a drone service. Next one, you need to have insurance. Well, there's no flight insurance at that time, right? You can't actually do that. Next one, you need to convince the property owners to actually sign. Like, there's so many steps we had to follow. And in theory, like, you just look and say, well, this is no brainer. It's safer, it's cheaper, it's faster, right? And the last one, I think this is probably the most comical part of the story, is how do you collect the data? So what end up being is, okay, let's fly the drone, collect the data, and then put it in a FedEx and send to an office, and then someone receives it, right? This is a decade ago. Just keep that in mind, right?
Sure.
It's a long time ago. But stuff like this, idea could be brilliant. Idea could make a lot of sense. Financially makes sense. Safety makes sense. It's just hard to get them started sometimes when you're running day-to-day operations.
Mm-hmm. Here at the Innovation Lab today, we've seen a lot of great technology tools, the Faro scanner mounted on Boston Dynamics' Spot robot, Primavera working with Esri Data and a drag and drop. All these things have become available in these last few years. And you mentioned in your keynote that it's not just data, it's having the right data. And how's Oracle making that happen?
great question. Mm-hmm. So I say, the right data comes from customers, right? we can collect any kind of data we want, we can analyze it, we can do all sorts of things, but the reality is if you don't not listening the end user, you're actually not going to know exactly what's needed. That's step one. Another thing we're doing is we have been working on certain products which actually use machine learning. Look, it's a hot topic, right? Especially for this audience. Coming from industry, if someone came to me and said, I have this black box, it's going to make a prediction, I'm going to be super skeptical. Right? I'm going to say, well, I know my industry, as an example of scheduling, I'm going to say, I'm a scheduler, I know my schedule. You know what? I've been doing this for 30 years. I'll figure this out. That's going to be my response. Now, what we have done is the products that we develop actually makes predictions, but it goes beyond that. It makes a prediction and it actually tells you why it made that prediction. You can either accept or decline, and the model learns from that. In the tech machine learning world, it's called reinforced learning. This is very complicated and hard to build, but the reason why we build that is for our audience. Because if you just go off and take tons of data or hire some data scientists and build these models, when the outcome comes, no one really can explain to you how actually this came, because you can't really trace it back.
Right.
What we built is actually allowing you to trace it back. And I think, I'm hoping products like what we've been working on and into the market is going to change the market and is going to allow people to start use kind of technology.
Yeah. There was a fairly big announcement here today. You know, you've got a partnership with Verizon. 5G is huge for the construction industry as well as manufacturing, several other industries here. Do you think that having that ability to communicate is a game changer?
Absolutely. So if you look at 5G, first of all, you all, you know, hopefully you all have cell phones and smartphones and all that, right? So there's a huge push in the market for upgrading and using that technology. Question is, what does it mean for industries? Let's pick construction. Mm-hmm. So there are three things that normally talked about when it comes to construction. It's high bandwidth, because we have terabytes of data and you want them to go up. Imagine it's like, hey, ability to, you know, download a model in 2 minutes versus 3 seconds, right? That's the big difference. But also continuous data flow. Like, we are all putting cameras on the sites. We're putting high definition cameras. Those are, you know, a lot of data. And we're trying to do stuff with machine learning, computer vision, recognizing objects, recognizing progress. So all this is going to require high bandwidth. So park that aside. Let's talk about the second use case. It's about latency, right? Latency have a big impact in construction when we start using autonomous construction equipment. Because you want it to be communicating and saying, oh, there's someone behind me, I have to stop my operations, right?
Right.
We are not there yet. If you talk to equipment investors, they're going to say to you, they're not there yet. Industry's heading that way. There's a lot of innovation happening. There's great startups in this space, but we're getting close. And the third one is sensors. Today, any Wi-Fi network you have, there's, I think, there's a little over 100 devices you can connect. There's a limitation. Mm-hmm. The whole thing with 5G is, A, it's cost-effective. Over 1 million connection points over 1 kilometer square. So that is tremendous improvement to our connectivity. Sensors are going to be everywhere, right? So for us to use on the sites. So those three, I think, going to have a huge impact to construction.
Yeah, sensors, you know, we're already seeing the impact they're making. And, you know, there's a lot of great new uses I've seen here today. You know, the sensors in the helmet to track workers. You know, the ability to put sensors on Hilti is here with, you know, several of their robotics. You know, is more information from the site better, and, you know, being able to track all these things that, you know, before were just sort of taken for granted?
Absolutely. But the key there is a question you asked earlier. Is more better? The more is better if you can make sense out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the key there is what information is good for you. I'll give you a specific example. So, Jeff, one of the use cases you're going to see when you are in the lab, we have a camera. Camera feeds the data to cloud, and we use our vision services to process the image, and it recognizes certain things. Like if you're without a vest, a hard hat, it does social distancing. So what you're seeing today is first time we actually share publicly. We developed that 2 years ago, right in the beginning of pandemic. We've been trying and looking at the, you know, the keyword is confidence level. How can the confidence level improve? This process is better, all that, right? But if you look at this technology and you know what it does, it's computer vision is awesome and it's working to a certain, but you can't just live with that. The future is going to be sensors and computer vision. So I think for this audience, what I'm trying to articulate here is you're not going to actually rely on one data point for a task to be completed. You're going to say, hey, computer, like the camera recognized something is there. Is the sensor saying that object is there? Yes, they're both there. Then we can check the box. Because our work is so complex, also seeing something in place doesn't mean the work is complete.
Right.
That opens up another issue, right? Mm-hmm. If you're installing something, vision can say it's there, but is that work complete?
No, it's very true. There are a lot of the complexity of our project, you know, includes a lot of stakeholders, architects, engineers, contractors, and coming at it from a bunch of different perspectives. So really getting all of those viewpoints aligned, that's the challenge really, because for the finished product, the building, right, or infrastructure asset. Yeah,
absolutely. Want to add something. We worked, so going back in time, we built a small construction site in Chicago. You actually came to see it. And when we started it, the whole idea is we wanted to focus on five key focus areas. One is how we can do progress reporting, because everybody has to do it, and it's a repetitive task, and we want to make sure it's done properly. Two is how we can visualize data. Three is how we can do material tracking. Four is how we can do worker safety. And five is all the camera and location-based technologies and how we can actually tie everything in one data platform, like have everything come to one place so you can actually manage it, right? That brought us in the first 18 months. A small construction site, by the way, if any of you can see a picture of this, imagine this. It's a double wide trailer, fence, and a steel structure. So anyone who looks at it is going to say, is this an innovation lab? This is not even exciting to look at. But it was about solving problems. So what that did is we had people came from all around the world. It came from Australia, New Zealand, China, Middle East. It even was surprising to us the amount of response we got. So we quickly realized we were onto something unique because we were helping industry solve industry problems in a simulated environment. And then, imagine those 18 months, we took everything we built and use it to build this building.
Yeah, here it is today, and it's still very Miesian. You know, we're in the Midwest here. We like the welds and the steel and glass. But you mentioned the two main challenges the industry is facing right now are, you spoke about it, you know, highest materials price escalations we've seen in about 50 years, and, you know, just the great resignation. Everyone is retiring, and there's a huge need for labor right now. You know, efficiency is going to have to get better to meet those needs, right?
Absolutely. And that's part of it, the repetitive, unsafe task, automation, how we could get there, right? Mm-hmm. But there's absolutely also pushback from the industry.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Because we like to do the things we like to do in a certain way, and we do not really like change. But on the other hand, I have seen a lot of progress happen in the last 2 years. There is a huge push to digitization in the last 2 years. And I will say this, pandemic forced the industry to actually make that change.
It's true. It's absolutely true.
And tying to what I said a minute ago, we had cameras, we had material tracking, we had sensors. When the truck came in, it automatically registered. So we had all this tech in early 2020 building our lab. Decided, okay, we should do a webinar and tell people that, hey, do you know there's a construction site in Chicago has all the tech you're looking for in one place? It's actually working. The challenge, we can't bring you to the site, but we can share with you remotely what's here. It was a tremendous response. Our engagement really skyrocketed after that because I think a lot of people, say this time to time, Jeff, A lot of the stuff sometimes you work on, people say, well, that's interesting, but I'll do it another time, right?
Maybe when I have to.
Yeah, and they had to, right? They had to figure out, like, good examples. They had to figure out how to do inspections of someone inspecting for a final completion remotely. Guess what? You have FaceTime. You have other video technologies. Mm-hmm. You have other things, right? We could have done this 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Jeff, we showed 4 years ago when you came, when we first started the lab, we showed an Oracle product called Oracle Live Experience.
I remember.
It feed data feed, and it was used in the tech space by our like laptop manufacturers and others to provide you remote assistance. People looked at that 4 years ago and said, that's interesting. In last 2 years, finally, I'm still getting requests from those who have seen what we were working and say, hey, that thing you showed me 4 years ago, do you have that? Because I can't send my people to every location. I'm curious about this. I'm going to ask you this question.
Go ahead. Go for it.
So, Jeff, knowing the industry and knowing where everything is, which parts and technologies you think are here to stay?
Here to stay, I think, definitely is drones for capture. We talked about the how much easier they are to use, all of that. But materials tracking, sensors, anything to get things into and out of sites, materials tracking, GIS and BIM working together, having those two data sets being matched. You know, those are things that are really going to move the industry forward and give you a 2D overhead view, particularly for transportation projects.
Yeah.
But also for, you know, buildings that go alongside them. You need to have both views, and you need to be able to quickly move data to each other. And, you know, I think we saw that a lot with the Primavera and Esri integration. You know, you're able to drag and drop all that data together.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And the example you gave, you know, we have customers using it. So that's the other thing. Mm-hmm. Look, we built this lab. Originally, it started with construction engineering. And then we actually have a physical building, which now we are open, so you can come and visit us. But when you walk into space, Jeff's seen it himself, it's beyond construction. We have energy and water use cases. We have a manufacturing floor in the lab. And what we truly realize is Oracle has multiple industries it focuses on, and there's a lot to be learned from each other. So we're bringing not just our different teams that focus on different industries. We're also bringing different groups of customers. The angle we're going here is cross-industry.
Yeah, it's definitely a promising future here, and, you know, a great test bed right here at the Innovation Lab. So this has been the ENR Critical Path podcast. Thanks a lot, Bertrand. This is great, you know, to get you out to our readers directly, and it's great to get up to here to Deerfield and see all of these, you know, wonderful innovations.
Yeah. Awesome. And Jeff, thank you for taking the time. So for anyone who's interested in this, if you can go oracle.com/innovation, you actually will find our website. And my name is Burçin, last name Kaplanoğlu. You can follow me on LinkedIn. I frequently post about the prototypes, the developments we have. So I will be, you know, you'll be able to follow and see those things. Thank you.
And for more podcasts, go to enr.com/podcasts or follow us on Apple and Spotify. Thanks a lot.